Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. I hope that you have been enjoying the last couple of days. They've been wonderful. But I also hear that this week it's supposed to get really, really hot. So for those of you moving into new dorms or new apartments, I'm sorry. It is what it is. But it is great for us to be together here this morning as we continue this green and growing season after Pentecost, as we add our voices to God's people all over in prayer and in praise and thanksgiving. So I'm glad that you're with us today. I want to make sure that I tell all of the youth who are going into 9th or 12th grades that there's a pool party this afternoon from 4 until 6. It's at Pam Wagner's house at 2682 Russell Road. So come, let's kick off a new program year with some fun in the pool, with some burgers and hot dogs, some conversation and stuff like that. So join us. Also a note I have is that our friends from CORE, that is the Council on Religious Education, they're the ones who run the Bible story buses that work in all of the elementary schools. CORE will be holding a prayer event for the three schools that they serve here in Sydney. The prayer drive is next Sunday, the 27th, beginning at 7 p.m. at Northwood Elementary, moving to Longfellow at 7:30, and finally Emerson at 7:45. All of you are invited to come to add your prayers for all of the work that is done in those buses, but also for the students, the teachers, the parents and guardians, the administrators, all the district employees as they begin the new school year. Next Sunday, beginning at 7 p.m. at Northwood Elementary. There are lots of other announcements in your bulletin, and I hope you find the chance to read through them. But we have gathered this morning so that we might be in worship. So let us continue that worship by joining together in our gathering song, Great is the Lord. Let us rise and sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us, as disciples of your Son, to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading this 12th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Isaiah, the 56th chapter. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading comes from the 11th chapter of Romans. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from the region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But then she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is once again what Jesus is trying to give all of us a glimpse of in this morning's gospel story. Now, it may not be a story about seeds or weeds, or it's not a story about yeast or pearls. It's not even a story about feeding a large crowd of people. But like in that story of that feeding, Jesus today is teaching the disciples an important lesson. In that feeding story, Jesus was teaching the disciples that with God by their side, with him, Jesus, by their side, whatever it is that we have, whether it's a lot or it's just a little, that's going to be enough to share the love of God, to bring the kingdom of God to the people around us. In today's gospel story, Jesus is teaching us all that God's love is for all people. There is no clean and unclean dichotomy when we look at people, because in God's eyes, there is no outcast. Jesus began teaching all of this in a conversation that was recorded just before our gospel story. Jesus was talking to the crowds again, the crowds that had gathered around him to listen. And Jesus was teaching them something important. He was telling them, listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Now, this statement from Jesus flies in the face of centuries of kosher laws, of Jewish teaching, and especially the Pharisaic code. Because for each of those realities, there are definitely things that will make you unclean, and many of them are food, what goes into the mouth. Because within those kosher laws concerning food, pork was right out, as was lobster and shrimp. Milk and meat products and milk were never supposed to go together, so there were no cheeseburgers. And when eating, you must ritually wash so that even clean food will remain clean. Now, all of that was an attempt to get to us so that we might see that we are to be and to remain clean before God at all times. We can't be right with God if the wrong thing is being eaten. And in that sentence that Jesus teaches, Jesus throws that right out. Jesus shows that what we put in our mouths as part of God's good creation is then by definition good and will not render us unclean. Jesus tells us that what comes out of our mouth, our actions, our attitudes towards others, that is what makes us unclean. That is what saddens God. Jesus put it like this. He said, "For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus gave the crowds, the disciples, all the Pharisees that were there, all of them were given something to really think about. If there is no unclean food, then are there unclean people? Are there those people who we need to disassociate ourselves from to remain in God's good graces? Because for centuries, Gentiles were widely thought to be out of the equation. Samaritans were out of the equation. You dealt with either of them as little as possible and only when absolutely necessary, which is why today's gospel story becomes a teaching moment for Jesus and for his disciples. Because at the beginning of our reading today, Jesus leaves that place where he had been teaching the crowds, and he goes off into the area of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is Gentile country. There are no large Jewish presence around there. And so it's not surprising that it was a Canaanite woman who comes before Jesus. What was surprising is her request and her faith. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. That's what she comes and starts shouting at Jesus and the disciples. And there is a lot going on in just that statement. This woman knows that she is undeserving of Jesus' time and attention, his kindness. That's why she asks for mercy. And then this woman, though she is a Gentile, refers to Jesus as Son of David. This woman's ancestors have been in that area since before the return from Egypt. And so she and her people have lived with and under and alongside their Jewish neighbors, but they were always held at arm's length. This woman didn't let any of that history get in the way because her daughter needed help now. So she comes, she runs, she shouts, and Jesus did nothing. There was no answer. There was no comment, nothing. That has always disturbed me. This year, I think I have an insight. Jesus doing nothing and saying nothing here in this story is like when Jesus told Philip that he should go ahead and feed that crowd. Jesus was pausing to give his disciples time and opportunity to devise a plan of their own. Jesus has been showing them the extent of God's love in the healings and the feedings, in the teaching and the listening. Jesus has walked on water. He has calmed wind and storm-tossed seas. And he just got done teaching them about it is what we do for the sake of others that brings joy in God's eyes. Jesus was giving them a chance. Their response was to get irritated and ask Jesus to send her away. The woman, she just kept asking. She kept pleading her daughter's case. She kept throwing herself on the mercy of Jesus. And eventually, Jesus says to the disciples, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Again, that has disturbed me for years because Jesus has just finished declaring that there is no unclean food. The meal that he provided for that 5,000 men fed Jews and Gentiles alike. Again, I think that Jesus is prompting the disciples to gain an insight, and that woman's continually asking is doing her part to show us that insight. She continued to plead, and this time she finally stops. She kneels in front of Jesus and just says, "Lord, help me." Jesus then asks if it's fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs. Now, if that woman was offended by the fact that she and her daughter were being compared to dogs, she doesn't show it. She had no time for that because she also knew that she only needed a crumb. See, that's what's so amazing. That is what Jesus was hoping the disciples will understand and cling to. This woman is not trying to change Jesus' mission to the lost sheep of Israel. She's not trying to have him stop important work. She doesn't want or need a whole meal or an entree or even just a chicken leg. All she wants is a crumb, because she believes that a crumb from Jesus is enough. She believes that even leftovers are enough. Now, maybe this woman was at that feeding of the 5,000. Or maybe it was that she just heard about it and understood the implications of that. Whatever the source, she was only there for a crumb, and Jesus applauds her faithfulness and cured her daughter. Jesus was also showing the disciples that not only are there no unclean foods, there are no unclean people. There are no irredeemable people. There's no one who we can just ignore, because God doesn't do that. Jesus was showing us what the kingdom of heaven is like, and the kingdom of heaven is like a crumb, like an insignificant leftover that can transform lives in love. This woman's life was changed. Her daughter was well. The daughter's life was changed because she was free. The disciples' lives were changed in that they watched Jesus help a Gentile woman and her daughter instead of ignoring them as all of them had been taught. The disciples saw that the love of God in Jesus our Lord reaches to the needy, all the needy. The disciples also hear a call and a challenge to notice the people they were purposely not noticing. They were called to care for anyone and everyone they see who needs that care. We are also called and challenged in that same way. There are no unclean people. There is no one who God thinks that it's okay for us to ignore. We get to go into the world and make God's vision for a kingdom of love into our mission every day. Amen. Please rise. Let us celebrate our baptisms as we confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. O God, your Spirit gathers the church. Shepherd those who are newly baptized and newly ordained in the proclamation of the gospel. Breathe life into our religious endeavors and support missionaries throughout the globe. Lord, in your mercy, you created the earth and all its inhabitants and declared it good. Clean, polluted skies, seas, and soils provide nourishment to plants and animals and make us all aware of the environment. Lord, in your mercy, you call leaders to bridge differences and practice generosity. Inspire all in authority to protect people in harm's way. Deliver those in bondage, provide care for military personnel and veterans, and show mercy to those for whom they have responsibility. Lord, in your mercy, you provide for those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Embrace people who have been rejected because of difference. Heal all trauma. Shield any who are persecuted. Console the dying and heal the sick. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace, there are so many who need your healing presence. We pray for all who suffer illness and injury or with accident and disease. We also pray for these who are known to us who need your wholeness and health. We pray for Dick, Dan, Joyce, Judith, Rhonda, Carter, and his family, especially his mother Jody. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you journey with us all in all of life's transitions. Guide those preparing for baptism, marriage, and retirement. Guide our church council and committees in their visioning and ministry. Safeguard those who travel. Lord, in your mercy, we give you thanks for those who now rest from their labors. Motivate us by their lives of dedication to the gospel until that day when we join them in our eternal home. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection has opened to us the way of everlasting life. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you send to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus loves you, and in the power of that love, I bid you now come to his table of grace. You may be seated.
Are many, they rise against me, but I will hold my ground. I will not fear the war, I will not fear the storm. My help is on the way, my help is on the way. Oh my God, I will not fear.
Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we have also been sent into the world in love and service. And so together we pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stay cool this coming week. And I hope that week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
Thank God for your power.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Because of you, my heart sings, I am free. Yes, I am.